Hello, friends. Thank you for listening to another Rod Tucker Says podcast. I feel really validated by all of the different responses I get from people after I record a podcast or people that want to talk to me about specific things that I've shared. And so I want to say thank you. If you're a regular listener or if you're a person who listens every once in a while, thank you for being a part of this podcast. You know, I started it years ago, just simply because I wanted a place to catch and save sermons that I had preached, because at that time, there wasn't necessarily one place everything was getting stored. And so sometimes I would just plug a mic into my phone and record as I was podcasting, or sometimes I would get the church I preached at to send me the WAV file or the MP3 file, and then I would upload it to this podcast. And it was just nice to have all of that. And then as I realized that I have a podcast because I've recorded all these sermons, I realized I could just start sharing thoughts, or if I had a sermon in my mind that I didn't think I was going to necessarily preach in any specific church or at an event or at a camp or anything, then I could just record it. And today, as I was sitting here thinking about the podcast, I thought, man, I could just share some thoughts when I'm having them. And if I share those thoughts and people are interested in hearing them, then that's worth the same as a sermon. And so a couple thoughts that I wanted to share with you today that I've been thinking about is in regard to family. And it all came about because yesterday, Anna, my wife, and I, and our children all went outside, and right behind our house, there has been we've owned this house for probably 6 years, and there has been this old, nasty hot tub that when we bought the house, the people who sold the house, they left the hot tub, and my wife and I, Anna and I, were like, oh yeah, we got a hot tub. We're super excited that we have a hot tub now. I think we used the hot tub like 2 times, and then it just sat there, and it reached the point where like there were animals that would crawl under it, and we wondered if there was like a raccoon living under the hot tub. Turns out there wasn't. We didn't add a family member to our house through a raccoon living under the hot tub. But at one day, this was probably like a month ago, I just decided this hot tub's got to go. And we need to turn this space, we need to sanctify this space, we need to turn it into something that can be useful for our family and that can be a restful space in our home. Which I think the hot tub idea was initially that kind of a design for the people who lived there before us, but we just simply didn't want to put up with adding tons of chemicals all the time and keeping this thing legit and running and keeping it heated and everything. And so it got nasty. So I took a Sawzall, which is an amazing tool, and I cut this hot tub up into like 20 different parts. And then a friend who has a truck, and I apologized to him about this because my friend Nate came over, and I was like, Nate, I feel like you are the guy with the truck, and people are probably just calling you all the time wanting to use your truck. And he said, yeah, but he's okay with it because, you know, he's a helpful person, and I wondered if at that time, I was like, maybe he's a 2 on the Enneagram. Maybe he's a helper, and he was just designed to really help people achieve their goals and their dreams. And for me, it was hauling a hot tub. So Nate shows up, we haul the hot tub away, and my wife and I say, we look at each other and say, we need to sanctify this space. And so we take this little square corner of our backyard, and we start ripping fences down. We move fences. We replace old parts of a fence with a better part of a fence. We start ripping out vines. We start sweeping. We start scraping. We're pulling nails. We're cutting wood. And eventually, this space that was once kind of a hideout with a hot tub is an open space with a view of our whole backyard. And I thought about family this morning as I was thinking about us tearing this hot tub apart And the reality that comes with being a family. And so when you're a family, you can be fast, you can be streamlined, you can get a lot of things done. And I'm speaking in terms of a comparison to like business or to church or to systems that have been around a long time. Like I was working, but before. My wife and I are trying to plant a church right now. We're trying to plant a church in the Edison neighborhood with our friend Dory, and we are so excited about it. And I'll talk about that in a little bit because it pertains to what I'm talking about now. But before I was doing this, I was working for a denomination, and man, it was a huge system that had been around for hundreds of years, and things were so incredibly slow. And if you did one thing, and I found myself doing this, I would do some things that I knew were helpful to the denomination, and people would get really mad. And then they would take that thing that you did to a vote, to a group of people that only met once a year. And then those people would talk about it, and then they would vote down the idea and say they need to do more research. And nothing was really getting done. The best things that were getting done were people trying to partner with other outside systems that were a tiny bit faster than them and trying to build rapport with churches and things through doing that. But innovation had been thrown out the window because of the slowness and the lack of trust in that system. And I was thinking about families and how families are God designed to move together quickly and to make decisions and to get things done. Not that they don't talk about it, not that they don't have order, not that they don't have structure, but they do accomplish things quickly. For instance, my wife and I look at this old nasty hot tub and the space surrounding it, and we say, let's take care of this. And we spend a day, and all of a sudden, we have transformed a space that is now on its way to becoming a peaceful and restful thing. Same thing with my wife and I. We decided one day, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to care for orphans and widows. Let's do foster care. And then we together filled out the forms and got going and signed up. And our whole family changed at that point through bringing some children in and doing foster care and allowing them to be a part of fostering and adopting more kids has been a beautiful thing. And so the efficiency and the streamlining and the quickness as to how a family can operate is really beautiful. Sometimes you fight, sometimes you don't agree, you're not always on the same page, but you can quickly get to a place where you are on the same page and moving together because of a way a family was designed. And with that design comes love, and there comes trust, and there comes unconditionality and unconditional positive regard. That idea that no matter what you do or say to me, I know that at the end of the day, you have my best interest in your minds. And so when you start throwing spaghetti on the wall and coming up with ideas within a family context, you can find that you have an ability within that family to get a lot done. And quickly. And so that was my thought about family when we decided that we were going to do this landscaping project in our backyard. And then immediately the next thought that came into my mind was, Rod, you're trying to plant a church. And as I'm trying to plant a church, I've talked to a lot of different people who've talked about structure and how to organize it and biblical systems that come into place to run that thing. And there's part of me that thinks some of those are good, part of me that feels drawn to having an organization and a God of order and following that kind of non-chaotic movement. Because I think when I think about spiritual darkness and when I think about trafficking and when I think about sin and when I think about drugs and the ways that people get hurt and murder, that chaos comes into play. But when I think about order, I think if order is done well, then it can create space of safety and unconditional love. And it could ultimately create space for chosen or extended families beyond nuclear family units. And so as I thought about this church and some of those system ideas came into play and they felt good, some of them really rubbed me the wrong way, where people began to say, you have to have this person in charge, you have to have someone in this role, you have to have people doing this thing, you have to have this type of a voting, you have to have, and for some reason those things started to rub me the wrong way. And as they rubbed me the wrong way, I realized when I processed those feelings and those thoughts, that my hope is that a group of people can come together and form a church. And our specific vision is to transform the Edison neighborhood. So our metrics aren't how many people are coming to the church or how much money's coming in. Our metrics are, what are we doing to transform a neighborhood with what we have and with what God is giving us? And so as people come together, my hope is that we can experience something very close to what I experience in my own home with my wife and my kids, that we can experience family. And immediately when I thought that, I thought, well, that would be a really great benefit if we didn't establish a system of constipated movement that was so slow that we couldn't get anything done, or that valued arguing and complaining, because that's what a lot of these church systems and groups and boards, that's what happens in these spaces. And so the movement is so slow that it's almost constipated and you can't get off the ground over and over and over again, or the amount of complaining that happens will take away from the creativity that was started, which is what happened to me when I was working for a denomination, and I saw happen in various churches in my life, even in places that I worked, as far as churches are concerned. But if a church could operate as a family, then that would mean, yes, they can fight. And yes, they can disagree, but at the end of the day, there's unconditional love and trust, and they can move forward efficiently. They can enter into spaces where they're throwing spaghetti on the wall, and when they decide to redo the backyard, they can have it done quickly. And so specifically with a church that's trying to transform a neighborhood, it's a good idea if we're thinking we want to maybe have a daycare or a laundromat, or we want to do things that can generate income and boost the economy, or we want to buy a house and rent it to a family and move them towards home ownership, or things like that. We have to have ways to move quickly together, because lives don't stop moving. People don't stop having children, and people don't stop growing old, and people's desire to be creative and to have their life mean something doesn't slow down. And so if we can become a family, then all of a sudden we can be streamlined, efficient, and effective. So then my next thought was, well, how do you become a family? Like, because that's how church was designed. That was Jesus's prayer before he went to be crucified, is make my church one. And I hear in that prayer, make them a family, give them unconditional love for each other. But somewhere along the lines, the church has gotten caught up into what we believe. And if you believe like me about human sexuality, if you believe like me about politics, if you believe like me about whatever, name the thing, then you can be part of my community. But people who agree on everything are not a family. They're a club. They're a political party. They're a group of activists. And Jesus wasn't praying that we would become a club, a political party, or a group of activists. He was praying that we would become a family. And I'm seeing that even when you're like super like-minded about everything, even when you're thinking the same, you can't get things done, because you ultimately believe that you have to put a system in that place to make sure that everything is running the way you want it, because you're afraid that if someone comes in who thinks differently, that they will flip the apple cart over and all of a sudden your club or your group or your system will fall. And many of us have experienced this over and over again. And it reaches this place where all of a sudden we don't feel like we can have fresh ideas. And then I realized Jesus was praying that we would be like a family. And if Jesus was praying that we would be like a family, then maybe in his prayer, it's not so much, because he did want us to be like-minded, but maybe that like-minded thing was more about understanding that to move God's kingdom forward, we have to love each other. And we have to trust each other, and we have to have unconditional positive regard for each other. And we have to realize that we don't need to agree about everything, but we do need to support each other. And we do need to encourage each other. And even if I don't agree with all of the details of a way that someone's trying to move the kingdom forward, can I support them? Can I help make their dream a reality? And I wonder if that kind of oneness is what Jesus was talking about when he talked and prayed about us being one, about us being family. Because I think about my daughter, and I look at my daughter, and I'm like, man, this girl is athletic, but all she wants to wear is princess dresses. And I'm pretty sure that if she worked really hard, now given she's only 7, and I'm not going to be the parent who's enrolling her in every single sport right now, if she worked hard, I know that she could be a track athlete. I know that she could be good at basketball. I know that she could probably even be a gymnast. But right now, she wants to wear princess dresses. And so in a family, although I might disagree, I support and love her, and I buy her princess dresses as opposed to track uniforms and basketballs, because I'm in support of what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of her much more than I need her to understand how I see things. And so in a family, we seek to understand more than we seek to be understood. And as we seek to understand, we find this efficiency and this speed of accomplishing good things happening that is so much greater and so much better than if we existed in a system that slowed us down, or a club, or a board, or a group. And so part of my thought when I bring all of this together, part of my thought turns to you, the listener. And some of this you're probably like, Rod, what are you talking about? And some of it you're like, I totally resonate with everything you just said. And I'm wondering if just sharing my thoughts on a podcast is a good idea at all. But my thoughts turn to you, the people who have desired, the person who has desired to be part of a creative movement. The one who has said, I wish that my ideas could be validated. I wish that someone would look at me in this room full of people and see that I have something to offer. And I would just say to you, you know what? It's not that people don't want to see you. It's that the system they're in and the structures they're in, the way that those constraints around those systems constrain vision and creativity and choke it out like a python, it inhibits people from looking and seeing you for the creativity you have to offer, because the creativity you have to offer exists a lot of times outside the lines of where these systems want you to serve. And that, friends, is frustrating. And so in my attempt to plant a church, I want to have a space where people can bring their creativity that exists outside the lines, and I be a type of person who is not constrained by a system, and I can say, yes, how can I come alongside you? How can I be a part of your dream that God put inside of you? How can I be a part of your God dream? And my hope is that families begin to exist like this. My hope is that churches begin to become more like families and less like businesses. And ultimately that we can have this space where we're existing in the creativity that God has designed us to exist in, and we find those spaces where people are receiving us. And so all of this comes to a head with me in that I know that these spaces don't exist and I'm trying to create one. And I think it will happen. I don't think it'll be easy, but I think it'll happen because when you're in a family, you want nothing more than the people around you to succeed. You don't need to be in control. You don't need to be the one that hears from God for everyone. You don't need to be the powerful one in charge. And you don't need to say that God told you that that needs to happen, because the reality is he didn't. God didn't say that. God said, I want my children to be a body, to be one, to be a family, to encourage and lift each other up, not to tell each other what God is saying to each other, but instead pull out what God is saying to each of us from the inside. And I know those spaces don't exist. I know I'm trying to create one. And so my question to you is, are you supposed to create a space like that? Because God made you to build. And you might be sitting frustrated that the creativity inside of you has not been affirmed. But that's no one's fault other than the systems that we exist in don't allow our creativity to birth new things. And Mary was pregnant with the divine, and she had to bring that forth even when the world didn't understand. And she had to create the space for that to happen, even if it ended up in a cave, in a manger, in a corner of a little town. And I'm wondering if you, friends, are called to create the same thing as well. So there's some of my thoughts on family and vision and streamlined movement of God's kingdom and the fact that you are called to create. I would love to be a part of it with you. And I would love to encourage you on that process. Go in peace.